as we've discussed earlier, everything has an energy to it, and everything has an aura to it, everything you can feel. That includes the inanimate objects. One of the things that I'd like to share with you is some information to give you a kind of a background on how people do some things. And a lot of times you may have heard of individuals that are psychics in the sense that they will go to a crime scene and they will be able to put the pieces together of the crime scene and say, you know, how this person was murdered and that type of thing. And I don't want to get too morbid on you, but it's probably the best example, missing persons, these kinds of things. And really what the psychics do in a lot of cases is they use what's called a psychic conduit, which means they get something from the person that has disappeared and they're trying to find information. They if they can get something from the crime scene, they can use it as a conduit, an energetic conduit to the individual that's attached to. For everything that we have, there's an energy attachment to it. And depending upon the item, it could be more of an attachment than another. For instance, if you had something that was your favorite item, you carried it with you all the time, your energy is going to transfer into that item. Could be a ring, it could be a hat, it could be an article of clothing, it could be your automobile, it could almost be anything that has your stamp on it, has your energy on it. I mean, you can walk into somebody's house and feel a certain energy. You can put on somebody's hat and feel a certain energy. And what people will do is they will take an item from somebody that has disappeared or that they're trying to locate or some such thing, and they get the information. Now, how do they get an information from an item? You can get information from a photograph. You can get information from a fingernail, from a piece of hair. That all has energy on it. Now, how do you do that? When I first heard of this, I thought, wow, that seems like the hokiest thing in the world. You could grab, because there's a lot of times people are superstitious. For instance, my grandmother is very superstitious about fingernails and hair and somebody getting a lock of your hair that they could then put a curse on you, which is in essence true. I mean, if somebody has something that is a conduit to your energy, they can then have a doorway into hurting you somehow. Of course, we're going to cover that more when we get into to more of the psychic self-defense, but I want you to understand the concept of why this works and how it works. Everything that we do has an energy attached to it. So it just stands to reason that if we have something that we have a lot of energy packed into, it can be used to be traced to us. Very important that you grasp that concept. And so what a psychic will do is take that item and will use their psychic abilities. Now, when we say psychic abilities, it's the same things that we've been talking about the entire time. Relaxing down, using the breath, stilling the mind, focusing into that third eye area and just opening up to information. Asking your subconscious mind, what is this information and what can you tell me about the situation? For instance, if somebody's missing, what is the situation in which this person is missing? And then try to read what the information is coming back. Again, when you're looking for information such as that, you've really got to have a clear mind. I mean, you cannot be thinking about anything. You've got to still your mind to the point where the only information is coming from your subconscious mind. There should be no chatter going on inside of your mind in order for you to get this information to flash in. Sometimes that information is going to flash in real quickly, and you have to try to discern it as quickly as possible. Sometimes it'll come in as a shape. Sometimes it'll come in as something very interesting. And you have to try to be able to discern what it is that you're seeing. And again, you're not going to get to that level to be able to take an item from somebody and decipher things about them at first. You're going to have to, again, this is another practice set. So as we go down the path here, everything that we're doing is a specific skill, is a specific practice set, is a specific exercise set in order to get good at it. Of course, once you start opening up your energy and your receptivity, all of these things are going to work better and easier for you, and they are all interrelated, but by the same token, they're all specific techniques and technologies in order to get the desired result that you're looking for. In this particular situation, taking a piece of clothing from somebody and feeling that energy about them. I mean, I know a lot of people that can just look at photographs and tell if somebody's deceased or not. if you gave them five photographs and said which one of the, you know, how many of these people are deceased and how many are not, they could tell you exactly. They could tell you exactly about the person in terms of what type of people they are. They're good people, bad people. I mean, I know some people that can even look at a photograph and say, hey, this guy's a murderer. They can tell right off the bat. It's pretty freaky, but you can pick that energy up from a photograph, from an article of clothing. By the same token, you can also install energy into anything. So, for instance, if you wanted to give something to somebody, let's say you wanted to give a stuffed animal to your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your spouse, and you really wanted it to be something special, you could actually take that energy and push it right into that teddy bear. You know, spend about 10 or 15 minutes and make it feel so good, relaxed energy, euphoric feeling, and pump it into that teddy bear. And when you handed that teddy bear over to the person that you gave it to, that would have your energy in it. And that energy would be there to let that person always feel that remembrance of you through that energy. You could do it with almost just about any object. That's why a lot of times people will reflect back and they can actually grab items. You know, once you get good at this, you can grab items from anybody and tell a little bit about their personality from that item. Now, not every item is going to carry the same significance, and you may not get a flash with every item, but if you practice it, you're going to start to feel things. How would you practice this type of thing? Well, what you can do is you can grab random items. Number one, you can grab random items, or you can grab items from people that you already know and already know a little bit about so that you can start to differentiate the feelings of that particular item. Hold it in your hand. Again, relax down, still your mind, breathe deeply, focus into that third eye area, open up your mind, speak to your subconscious mind, and let that energy flow, and let the answers come. I know that sounds non-specific, but in fact, it's very specific. That is what's going to happen. As you get better at being receptive, being a receptacle for the energy, you will be able to better distinguish what that energy is telling you. Very similar to if you were speaking a different language. At first, when you're first learning it, it just sounds like jumbled words. You don't know what they're saying. But as you become more and more skilled in the language and understanding it, somebody could speak to you in another language, you understand exactly what it is. Well, the same thing's true with the energy. And the energy can be passed around. You can infuse the energy into objects. You can infuse energy into people. And I guess we've been talking about that the entire time. You know, as we were talking about the mind-to-mind communication, I was talking to you about sending good energy. Well, you can always send good energy. You can send healing energy to people. When you're in a meditative state, you can send energy to people. It doesn't necessarily have to be a message that you're sending to somebody, but you can send them an energetic feeling. If somebody were in the hospital, for instance, you could send them energy that's going to make them feel good, feel better, feel stronger, getting better, remove illnesses. Okay. Now, I'm not going to say that every illness that you try to cure, you're going to cure, but your belief factor is a big factor in what you're doing. I believe you can achieve anything if you put your mind to it. And you'll notice in the Bible that belief is such a factor that when Jesus tried to perform miracles in his own town, at sometimes he was unable to because of their lack of belief. If you have belief and the person that you're trying to heal has belief, you have a much better chance of doing it than if you have negativity. Anytime you have negativity in the situation, it's going to damper the results you get. Now, we're going to talk in great detail about the negativity aspect of it, because that's directly what's going to happen when you get into a psychic self-defense situation. But we're talking about this more in infusing the energy into somebody for a positive type of result. And please keep in mind that you want to always use your energy for positive results. And if for no other reason, it's the whole issue of whatever you do to somebody is going to come back to you. You do not get away with anything when you're dealing with this energy. If you think that you can use this energy to manipulate somebody in the wrong way, I can almost guarantee you that you will be manipulated in the wrong way somehow, some way. It's just the way the energy is out there. So my advice to you, and hopefully you'll take it, is that you always look for the benefit and betterment of everyone that you work with this energy. Never use it for the wrong purposes, or I can guarantee you that it will come back to haunt you and sting you at some point in the future. So always keep that in mind when you're dealing with your energetic infusions and working with people.